Iraq and all the honorable members. Good afternoon, honorable members and ladies
Mr. Skosana, how are you?
No, I'm fine, thanks. How are you?
No, we're good.
Oh, yes.
Good day, members.
Good day, sir.
Yes, my name is Mandla Ngobo. I'm chair of Broadband Infraco, but I see my team is not on yet.
Good morning.
As long as you are here, if the chair is here, we regard the board to be here. We are fine.
Yes.
Part of the team is there if the chair is there. That's
yeah.
Right.
Hey, person, is it the same leader that we visited that site or not?
Yes. The same leader.
The same. Yeah, I can see.
Yes.
Welcome.
Okay.
Good afternoon. Honorable members, and good day. It's 12 o'clock now. We are supposed to start with our meeting. Let me take this opportunity to welcome honorable members. I saw Honorable Mukause was still being given the login details. I hope she has received them, and she will join us as well to be part of the meeting. We also want to take this opportunity to welcome the board of Broadband Infraco, as led by the chairperson, and members of the board who will also be joining us. We also want to take this opportunity to welcome the administrative leadership of the Broadband Infraco, who are present here, as well as the staff of Parliament, who are also part of this meeting. You are all welcome, honorable members, together with the team. I will go straight to Lolly to deal with the apologies. We have seen on the chat group a number of apologies that are there. She will have to deal with that. And welcome, Honorable Glute. I didn't see you, now I see you. Yeah. You were hiding. Thank you very much. Lodi, can you deal with the apologies?
Good morning to everyone. We received apologies from the Honorable Minister, also from Honorable Smith, Honorable Ngwenya, Honorable Nana, and Honorable Ngwenya, Nana, Smith. Yeah, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Another apology that we received is from Honorable Arnold, who said he will be with us. He's got other pressing issues. He will leave if we are not done, but I'm hoping we'll be done by then. Honorable Arnold, before you can leave us. And I saw Honorable Mukause was still struggling to log in. I don't know whether she has logged in now. Well, but I think
she has logged in, yes.
Okay, no, that's fine. Thank you very much. Without any waste of time, we'll request through the chairperson of the board, I don't know from the department who is here, whether the DG or DDG is here, before we can hand over to the board. Anyone from the department?
Good afternoon, colleagues. My name is Mpiwe Fotiwe. I'm from the department.
Okay. No, that's fine. You you are alone from the department.
Afternoon, Chair. I'm Rendani Museta. I'm with Simpiwe, and we represent PPI from the department. I'm the chief director in the department of DCDT. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Also here. I'm the advisor to the minister.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'll request Mr. Mandla, as the chair of the board, I'm handing over to him. He will see how to deal with the presentation from Broadband Infraco. Mr. Mandla, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair and members. It's always a pleasure to appear before you. We've prepared a presentation which will take you through the financial highlights for this financial year. And also, the CEO is with me. We will deal with the prospect of the merging of Centec and Broadband Infraco. The chair of the Audit and Risk Committee could not attend, and I apologize on her behalf also, and she can be added in the apologies. Andrew, can you go ahead and do the presentation?
Which one is that? Oh.
Andrew,
welcome.
Good afternoon. It's just 12:10. Oh, good day. My name is Andrew Matreke. I'm the CEO of Broadband Infraco. I would also like to indicate that on this online meeting, we are also joined by the Chief Financial Officer of Broadband Infraco, Mr. Ian van Niekerk. And Ian will be helping me with some of the items that are on our presentation. I am told that the host has disabled. There we go. If we can go through the presentation, the financial sustainability of the company, we will reflect on the company strategy, which the board reviewed and approved last year, it's a 10-year strategy up to 2030. And then we will talk to the issue of SOC rationalization. That's the term, by the way, that is used to refer to the merger between BVI and Centec. Under financial sustainability, you can move on to the next slide. Possibly the biggest issue in the life of Broadband Infraco at the moment is the inability of the company to raise funding. The reason why the company cannot raise funding is there is a matter on the balance sheet of the company that requires attention of both shareholders. As a refresher, BBI is owned 74% by government through the Department of Communication and Digital Technologies, and 26% by the Industrial Development Corporation, the IDC. which is a state-owned company that reports to a different ministry compared to BBI. So what we have on the screen above is an indication of the timeline since the enactment of the Broadband Infra Co Act in 2007 up to today. And it's an indication of the investment that the IDC and government made in BBI, which adds up to 1.8 billion rand. And as you can see, the last time there was a capital injection by the shareholders was in financial year 2010-11. So it's more than 10 years since the company was capitalized in any form. That in any business, whether it's a state-owned company or the private sector, is not a way to sustain a business. Growth in a business requires some form of recapitalization every couple of years, depending on the characteristics of the market in which the company operates. So a decision was taken in the 2016-17, before I get to that decision. So in terms of Schedule 2 of the PFMA, under which BBI is listed, the company can raise capital from the markets using its balance sheet. In financial year 2016-17, there was a change in accounting standards which classified the shareholders' loans, the investment that was made by the shareholders, the 1.8 billion, as shareholder loans that are liabilities on the balance sheet. Now, what that does is it makes the net asset value of BVI to be negative. So means you are unable as a business to go and loan capital from the markets because the markets, when they assess the balance sheet of your company, it's risky because you have a negative asset, net asset value. So we started that process in 2016-17 to convert the shareholder loans into equity. We went through a journey that included interaction with National Treasury because there was a view at National Treasury about the classification of those shareholder loans. That was eventually resolved last year, calendar year 2019. And in June last year, our minister, the Honorable Stella Ndabeni Abrahams, she approved the conversion of the DCDT shareholder loan via a letter that was issued on the 7th of June last year. We then went through a process with the IDC, which I think we need to go back to the previous slide. We're not done with it yet. We went through a process with the IDC where they needed to get their shareholder loan converted. The board of the IDC took that decision in November last year. However, some of the details in the resolution of the IDC board, they require the approval of the shareholder minister of the IDC, who is the Minister of Trade, Industry and Competition, the Honorable Minister Ibrahim Patel. And that approval from Minister Patel for the IBC is outstanding. We are now in October. We are getting very close to that matter being outstanding for a year. And that delay, because without it, we cannot convert the shareholder loans into equity. Without the shareholder loans being converted into equity, we can help with the capitalization of BVI. And the impact of that delay is harmful to the sustainability of BVI. Can move to the next slide. The CFO for the next couple of slides in terms of customer growth and revenue, I would like you to help me by talking the select committee through the next couple of slides.
Thank you, C. Good afternoon, members. My name is Ian Fennick. I'm the CFO of Broadband Infraco. The next couple of slides, I will just on a high level take you through some of the key financials of BVI for the year ended 31 March. On this slide, it's just a quick snapshot to show the customer growth that we have experienced over the last 5 years. You will see that the customers grew from 23 to 79. I mean, in the last year ending 2020, we had a 14% increase in revenue growth. And this just is an indication of the growth in our revenue by main grouping of customers. And you will see that, you know, remarkably that the national revenue has grown quite well over the last year. And we've maintained, you know, very much the MNOs and the WAC revenue for the last number of years. On the next slide. Can we go to the next slide, please? The next slide just gives and we're going into more detail when we go through the old income statement or balance sheet and or financial statement of performance and position. Just one slide back. I just wanted to highlight one or two things, please. This slide, the previous slide, please, just gives you an indication of gives you an indication of, you know, the revenue and the fact that we are, you know, like the CEO said, we have been financially just sustainable based on just the ability of BVI to have generated cash that, you know, by ourselves from operations. And that's depicted on the next slide. You will see that, you know, we have a positive earnings before interest and depreciation. That you know, it remained for the last 5 years, and before that we were negative. So we are trading positively at this point in time. And on an annual basis, we have been able to increase our gross profit margin. Although under pressure, obviously, because I mean, as the CEO said, we don't have the ability to raise funds in the open market to really enable BVI to expand the network and improve on the connectivity and investing in things like IP core, where, you know, we will be able to even grow the revenue further. If we can go to the next slide. And the next one, please. This one I spoke to now. Just the next slide, please. slide is the capital spending of BBI. Just one back is. Can we just go one slide back to the graphical presentation in the previous one, please?
Sir, is it possible to call slides by numbers? It's going to be easier for me.
Okay, slide 7, please.
Slide 7, thank you.
All right. Yeah, well, thank you. So this is the capital expenditure that BBI have incurred over the last 5 years. And if you add up all of those numbers, you'll see that we get to around about 407 million rand that we have spent in CapEx over the last 5 years. You know, the point that I really wanted to make on this slide is that, you know, as the CEO said, we have not been able to raise money. So in other words, from a funding perspective, and by heart, BBI is an infrastructure company, and any infrastructure company requires a significant amount of raw cash in injections, on a continuous basis, you know, to improve the network and expand the network and improve technology to really put us on the front foot, or that company on the front foot, you know, to make it sustainable. So that 407 million rand that BBI have spent has come from operating cash that BBI have been able to generate itself over the last 5 years. And you know, that's quite a large amount of money to have spent on yourself to expand the network. And because of that, I think, you know, that to a large extent have played to the effect that BBI is currently and a financial stress to really continue to be fully sustainable and operational. If we go to the next slide, it's slide 8. We'll go through more of the details now from a financial position and the financial performance of the company. The first couple of slides was just a graphical summary of the finances of the company. If you page down once more, because there's some narrative on the right-hand side that might be of interest to the members. Thank you. So this is just the balance sheet or the financial position of the company as at the end of the year. And there's just a couple of things that I wanted to just highlight. So for the year, as we said earlier on, our assets have grown by around about 66 million rand. But if you look at the finances, you know, our assets improved or increased also with about 80 million rand, which is due to changes in the way that we account for leases. So our asset base also increased by that 80 million rand, which means just that we had to bring onto our balance sheet all the leased assets that we have. In other words, properties that we lease. And it's one of those financial statements that don't make sense, not even to the finance people. But we had to bring on some of those assets onto our balance sheet. The next item I just wanted to highlight was the cash and cash equivalents. You will see at the end of the year, we were on 110 million rand. It must be noted that on the 31st of March, we received a payment from the Department DCDT as an advance payment for the execution of SA Connect. So one needs to just take that into account. We also account for it in that way where we keep the money that we receive in advance in a separate account and only release those once the invoices have been approved by the department. So the BBI have been very good in collecting any outstanding debt. So at the end of the year, we were sitting at around 28 days, our debtors' days, against a target of 60. So from a collectability point of view, I think we've been doing well, and that's the reason why, you know, the debtors are, or trade and other receivables are quite low. From the next highlight is the shareholder loans, and I think the CEO has spoken to those. We still show that as loans and not as equity. equity, and we hope soon to move that one line up to actually show it as equity in the books of BBI. And non-current liabilities is just deferred revenue, which is money that we have received in advance. In the telecoms industry, it's quite common where customers want to secure bandwidth on a long-term basis, so then they pay for that upfront. And that's just the money that we keep. That's part of that advance payment that we have received upfront to secure that bandwidth. And the rest of the current liabilities is just some short-term payables that are due within the next 12 months. If we can go to the next slide, which is the financial performance of BBI for the 12 months ending 31 March 2020. And just hit enter again. There's a narrative on the right-hand side. So again, just the revenue, you know, we ended the year on 470 million rand. So we are hoping, you know, if the revenue continues to grow by that 14% this year, then we'll get close to that magical half a billion or 500 million rand. From a gross profit point of view, you'll see that our gross profit for the year is 106 million compared to the 65 million rand in the previous year. Albeit that we are below what we have budgeted for, we maintain a gross profit, which is positive, and even showed a growth in gross profit, which is commendable under difficult market conditions in the telecommunications industry. From an operating expenses point of view, our operating expenses increased by and about 20%, and the main reason for that is that it came off a very low base, and because in the previous financial year there was some maintenance improvements where we had to capitalize as spares, and this year we had quite a number of breakages in the fiber that we
I can't hear Ian.
Yeah, the CFO is no longer audible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we seem to have lost. In fact, he seems to have disappeared from connectivity altogether.
As long as CEO, you are the ones who deal with connectivity. If you disappear, you can appear again.
I'm back again. Sorry about that.
If you disappear, you can appear again.
I'm very sorry about that.
Okay.
To tell you the truth, I'm on leave today and I'm sitting in the bush somewhere. So, but the connectivity, fortunately for us, you know, has improved quite a lot over the last number of years. So I am able to have the meeting. So, I don't know until where you heard me. I was talking about operating expenses. Chair, I don't know if you.
Yeah, you can continue from there.
Thank you. Okay, so operating expenses, as I said, was higher than last year because last year there was a correction of some 50 million rand, which was capitalized to spares. And in this year, there was a number of breakages that we had to repair. And for that, the maintenance was slightly higher. But besides that, all other operating expenses was actually maintained at below revenues, at below inflation. So for the year, the net results of the company was a loss of 111 million rand. And it looks strange, but last year our loss was only 40 million rand. But if we normalize that 40 million rand, because included in other income, you will see there is 84 million rand of other income it was basically equipment that we have received for free in the previous year. So if we normalize the operations of the previous year, then we are very much on par and slightly better than what we performed in the previous financial year. All right, if we can move to the next slide. Thank you. This interesting enter again. There's a narrative again on the right hand side, which might help some of the members. And this is just a cash flow statement. This is show that where we have generated money from, or the cash resources from. So you'll see on the top line is cash flow from operations. And for the last 3 years, we have been able to generate cash flow from a positive cash flow from our operations. Which is commendable under difficult conditions. And if you then move down, you will see that, we have spent 143 million rand on capital items. But if you recall correctly, I said we spent in true cash 66 million rand, and 75 million rand was in a what finance people call a book entry for the assets that we have capitalized because of the leases that we have. And right at the bottom, so the net increase in cash resources for the full year was 16 million rand. So as I said earlier on, we used almost all of the cash that we generate from our operations to sustain the business by spending it on CapEx to expand and improve on our network. I think that covers all the financial slides. I don't know if you want to talk about then network capacity constraints, which is the sales slide, which is the next one. So I'll hand back to the CEO.
Okay.
I must just end to say, I don't know if the questions will be asked at the end or after each section, and it's up to you.
No, we'll ask after you finalize the presentation. As long as you don't disappear again.
I'll try my best.
Okay. Thanks, CFO. I think on this slide we just want to emphasize that notwithstanding the financials that Ian has presented, they could have been better, or they can be better, if we can have the ability to invest more in our network. So what we are indicating is in this period where we are unable to fund network expansion, we are facing a situation where the average period that it takes from a customer signing a service order form to BVI provisioning that service, the period is 78 days on average. We have had one customer who waited just over 120 days for BVI to provision the service that they ordered. Obviously, this impacts revenue because we wait longer before we get to a point where we bill customers. But it also acts as a negative in the market. If customers know that it takes longer for them to get a service provisioned by BVI compared to other players in the market. We can go to slide 12. So just to recap then, and I'm not going to talk to the items per bullet point because we've already covered them. So the key issue here is that our minister has written, or through the DG of acting DG of our department, a meeting has been requested with Minister Patel to try and resolve the shareholder loan issue. And that issue is still outstanding. So if members of the select committee are able to help us, that's one, the first item where we really need help. To get an audience with Honorable Minister Patel and our minister so that we can discuss the recommendation that the IDC has made to convert their shareholder loans, and we can get Minister Patel to approve that transaction. Yeah, so that's the key issue number one. Where we need help. The other issue, and the second issue, is something that we have touched before. I think the last time when the committee came to visit BVI last year in a physical meeting, we did indicate that we have an issue with Eskom in particular. So the issue is that the state-owned companies for whom ICT is not core business, we call them non-ICT stocks, they want to commercialize their fiber infrastructure to generate revenue for themselves. But, you know, when they do that, then they are going to become our competitors and also affect the sustainability of BVI now, today, and the future entity that will be formed out of the merger with Sentech. We are proposing to those entities a model for cooperation. And there is some resistance. I think the worst case scenario is Eskom. They are significantly hostile towards BVI. And that's something that our minister is also working on that. But, you know, where members of the select committee are able to interact with Eskom, you know, we would appreciate any assistance that helps us get that message of saying, rather, let's cooperate with those entities rather than them trying to become our competitors, which is something that is not their core business in terms of mandate. We can move to slide 13. And so for the next couple of slides, yeah, we're talking about the strategy. So we, in the strategy that we went through with the board last year and which has been approved, we identified the strategy as being in three phases, where the first phase, which is more or less where we are, is to stabilize the company. And then the second phase is to build infrastructure and grow the customer base. And the third phase is to grow services to enable digital transformation. So the strategic goals that underpin that strategy is the strategic goal number one is to strengthen BVI's financial position. And it talks to most of what we've discussed in the last couple of minutes. And then second one is to enable the organization to deliver upon its mandate. The mandate in terms of the key focus areas of the shareholder department is digital transformation, enabling digital environment, and digital infrastructure. So those dependent significantly, or our ability to support those focus areas requires us to get the organization to be stable. Then the second phase, and now we are still on that slide. The second phase would require us to then use that sustainability to increase our customer base and to prove ourselves as the preferred partner of government in enabling digital transformation. The end state is really to strengthen that enablement of digital transformation. Can move to slide 15. That strategy, we went into details in terms of the outcomes that would, amongst other things, require that we invest in our network to make it resilient and redundant, and to also build an IP network. That IP stands for Internet Protocol Network, which is what the market is demanding, and to also make BBI to be the conduit and the enabler of connectivity in underdeveloped and underserviced areas, which is part of our core mandate. And then, of course, to prepare BBI for consolidation and infrastructure build. And the opportunities that are there include SA Connect, which is a project that we've been implementing since 2018. The need to grow our customer base in both the private and the public sectors, and to make the company customer-centric. The dependencies there are shareholder loan conversion, continued access to the infrastructure of Eskom and Transnet, which is where we started as a company, adding skills that we need in the business, securing funding, and then upskilling and training employees. We can move to slide 16. Scenario two is talks to when we get to a stage where we become able to be the government's partner for ICT infrastructure and connectivity requirements. The dependencies in that is obviously, I think by the time we get the SOC rationalization, we will have happened. Broader consolidation, including the assets, ICT assets that are sitting elsewhere within the state-owned company portfolio, access to Eskom and Transnet infrastructure, continuing with the upskilling of our people. Slide 17. All right, so the next item that we'll talk to is SOC rationalization. We went through a process with between Centec and ourselves engaging an external partner, PwC, to assist with the SOC rationalization process. So benefits of stock rationalization relate to positioning. You know, if you look at the infrastructure of BBI, which is a fiber network covering all 9 provinces of South Africa, and the towers of Sentech that are used for broadcasting signal transmission using wireless technologies, you overlay those two infrastructures. From an infrastructure point of view, the merger becomes, it makes sense. It just makes sense when you do that. So what we will also achieve is infrastructure optimization, income statement optimization, when you combine the lines of businesses that the two companies are involved in. And then we will also be able to optimize costs where there are currently duplications. The third leg is the balance sheet and tax enhancement. Sentech will come into the merger with a much stronger balance sheet than BBI, whilst BBI has got accumulated tax losses that essentially we will need to make similar levels of profit before the company is required to pay 1 rand of tax. The combined business from market point of view will improve the perception, network availability, we think that because the meshed entity will have a much stronger service offering to the market, that the merger will actually help us with the retention of staff. We can move to slide 19. So in terms of snapshot in terms of time, we went through the appointment of PwC PricewaterhouseCoopers as transaction advisor. We started an interaction between BBI and Sentech, and that process produced two documents, post-merger integration plan and BBI valuation. There was also a Sentech valuation, but since we are talking about BBI only today, so those are the two documents that were produced by PwC. In the current financial year, we are working on the development of a strategy for the merged entity, and we recently drafted the terms of reference to go to the market to source a consultant, just like we did with PwC in the previous phase. In terms of our plan, is that we should be having at least a draft of that strategy completed by the 30th of November. In the meantime, our shareholder ministry had engaged the services of GTAC at National Treasury to help them with drafting the business case for the merger. We are now going through a process where BBI and Sentech are making comments and inputs into the business case document that was drafted for the department by GTAC at National Treasury. Slide 20. So the combined strategy, at this stage, what we have in mind is that the merged entity will become the partner of choice to government, state-owned companies and even private business. That we will, underpinning that strategy, ensure sustainable business growth, enable digitally connected smart communities, develop skills and capabilities of staff, achieve infrastructure rollout efficiencies, achieve high stakeholder satisfaction, integrated end-to-end content delivery. I think that one deserves maybe a bit of mention, that currently the broadcasting, the content that is delivered for the broadcasting market is done predominantly through satellite and terrestrial wireless networks. Whereas in other markets, we have solved the issue of the shareholder loans. The entity should be able to invest in some cases on its own, in other cases in partnerships with other market players to develop alternative methods of delivering broadcasting other than through satellite and terrestrial wireless. And then, of course, we would like the entity to embody ethical and responsible corporate citizenship. Slide 21. Oh, okay. So, yeah, that was the last slide. Thank you very much. I think we can take questions now.
Board Chairperson, are you fine?
I am fine, Chair. As you could have made out of the presentation, our biggest constraint is this shareholder conversion. And I think the CEO did not mention that we already, from the Development Bank, were given a term sheet for something like 800 million, but it couldn't happen. Amongst other, we couldn't meet that condition of shareholder conversion. So it is a serious matter for us. Unless we quickly, we will really get hurt.
Okay. Thank you very much. Honorable members, we can then engage with the presentation. I'll start with Honorable Arnold. As he said, he might have other engagements. Then Honorable Klute, Honorable Nkause, and then Honorable Mbisi. Honorable Arnold. Honorable Klute.
Thank you, Chairperson. Ironically enough, wait, let me just, can you go to the next person? I see my screen is strange. You can maybe go to the next person. I'll take the next round of questions.
Okay. Honorable Mkause.
There you go.
Chairperson,
yes.
Am I audible?
Yeah, very audible, Honorable Mkause.
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got just a few questions. I think it's clarity. Chairperson, irrespective of the cash injections from different donors and shareholdings, it was mentioned that the entity's balance sheet is always end up at zero. Can we be clarified where exactly is
the balance?
Honorable Pluto, will come back to you.
And then
Sorry, Honorable Ngause. I think Honorable Klute is having network challenges. Honorable Klute, can you hear me now?
No, Chair, I'm sorry. I just wonder if it's allowed. Is it allowed to have party regalia as background on this platform?
You must go back to Senegal and tell those racists to stop threatening our people.
Chairperson, sorry, point of order. I'm asking you a question. I'm not speaking to Honorable
Kasi. You must go to Senegal and tell
You're speaking to me. She had forgotten to change the background.
But nonetheless, Jefferson, you must tell that lawlessness will never be allowed in this country. What's coming for you? Okay. Jefferson, may I continue?
You can continue, Honorable Mkosi.
My sincere apology to the chairperson, not to the racist party who continue to bully our people. Chairperson, back on the presentation, may we be clarified as to the reasons why Minister Patel is withholding the approval on the shareholding approval that the entity spoke about? And also, Chairperson, may we be also clarified on the names of the people or shareholders who actually are injecting cash into the entity? For now, I'll stop here, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nkause. Honorable Klute.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to ask you a quick question. As I understood the notice of the meeting, we were supposed to discuss the merger of Centec and BBI today. Do I have that correctly?
No, the merger, they were just briefing us. The merger will require us to have a session where Centec is also there and BBI. Yeah, they were
Thank you.
We were looking at the financial sustainability of BBI. Yeah.
Okay, then I'm covered. Thank you, Chair. I'm covered.
Okay. Honorable Mudise?
Good afternoon, Chairperson.
Yes.
Honorable members and representatives from the department and from the entities. Chairperson, I have two or three questions here, but before I go to the questions, I just want to get the reasons why the stakeholder gives or capitalized Infraco only once. What was the reason? Is it because they were not using not utilizing the finances correctly, or what was the reason? Before I go to the questions, can the department respond that question, Chair, before I go to the questions? Because maybe when I ask the questions, those questions...
Okay. No, that's right.
...will be answered.
Okay. No. From my side, the chairperson of the board, I just want to emphasize on what Honorable Mkause asked. What is the challenge in relation to the IDC shareholder loan transaction? What is the challenge? What is the BBI requesting us to do? As the select committee. I think also from the ministry, they must tell us what is delaying that. The other issue that I also picked up is the issue around ESCOM in terms of cooperation. Now I understand why ESCOM, we are having a lot of challenges in terms of load shedding, because they are concentrating on issues that is not their core business. Their core business is to supply electricity to the people and the economy. What creates this hostility? I think in our engagement with ESCOM, because we also part of the public enterprise, we'll then look at why are they concentrating on something which is not their core mandate, leaving their core mandate, which is to supply electricity to our people. There is a question for clarity from Honorable Mudise and other persons from Honorable Mugausa and myself, which you can attend to. I think from our side, before we...
Chairperson, maybe before...
Yes.
Chairperson, I was saying, because we thought I needed clarity on that, I request that the department, maybe they respond on that question so that I can continue with my questions to finish before the electricity cut, my battery cut.
Oh, okay.
I have a problem of network problem.
Okay. Yeah. CEO and chairperson of the board, together with the department, can you respond to Honorable Mudise's issue? She's saying she's having a challenge of network because of ESCOM, who are concentrating on non-core issues. The board chairperson.
I think I will defer to the department because in our own view, the capitalization issue has got a historical context when the company was first established, and I think the department can deal with why subsequent to that there's been no capitalization.
Mr. Mseta?
Yes. Thank you, Chair. And honorable members, the department has initially, when we started with the capitalization of BBI back in 2006, as the CEO has indicated, was that even from the onset the capitalization was meant to be at the equity. And that is why then we were able to then do the shareholder conversion, to agree on the shareholder conversion into equity. So throughout the years, we have always encouraged, and even currently, we still encourage BBI to come with the funding request. But of late, as honorable members would understand, the current fiscal position of the country and the economic challenges that we are facing. It has not been easy to acquire capitalization for the entity through the fiscal financial application. So we have always been encouraging the entity, but what we had then sought to do was that through the conversion that we are doing, it would then allow the entity to be able to go to the market, and we will be able to support the entity for it to be able to do that. Because if you look at it, also you would want to find that the entity needs to find a balance in terms of equity injection as well as the balance of the debt. So with the entity that already has not yet acquired debt, you find that the debt to equity ratio is skewed when you look at BBI. So those are some of the things that you look at. So hence we then sought to then say possibly the entity needs to then sort out the shareholder conversion so that they can go and get be able to acquire some debt that could then balance, you know, their equity to debt ratio. So, in short, those are the considerations that we make as the shareholders. Thank you, Chair. I'll stop at that.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mudise.
Okay, no, thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me leave those other questions and then go to another question. I just want to check with the entity. when they receive the death money from the IDC and the department, was that money was classified as a loan or equity? If it was a loan, because of the is it not going to affect, since every loan is paid back to the creditors? The second question is, because the entity was, when it was established as a company, the public mandate, they had a public mandate to offer broadband service to underdeveloped and underserviced area at an affordable price. In the merging with the Fintech, I just want to check, is it going to fall away? Or the new mandate out of that merging will still uphold an area at an affordable price? Because if we are talking about the undeveloped, it means it is the people that
we are losing you sometimes.
But if the new mandate is going to happen, and did I catch my question of the establishment of the mandate?
Yeah, the last one.
And then the last question.
Honorable Mdisen, we can't hear you.
Okay, it's good. Yes, Chair.
Yes,
Chairperson.
We can hear you now.
Yeah, I just want to check with them how this rationalization process affect the morale of the staff. In other words, have you lost any your skilled staff to your competitors to date? Those are the three questions that I want to ask Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'm just hoping they have got second question, because it was a bit, there were challenges of network. They can now respond to the questions.
The second question, the one that I was talking about, the mandate.
I wanted to check whether they got it, because if they haven't got it, now I got the gist of the
mandate. You'll explain to them.
I will assist if they haven't got it.
Thank you very much.
The board chair and CEO.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. The first questions that was asked by Honorable Nkause has to do with the answer is the structure of the items as they are reflected on the balance sheet. So the money that government put in at the beginning, that money went into building the BBI network. That is what it was used for, is to build the network we currently have. It was used to buy fiber that is in the Eskom transmission network. So we've got fiber that we bought with that money from Eskom, fiber that we bought from Transnet, which we own as BVI. We also build additional fiber network equipment, and so on. So that is what the money was used for. The issue that we've been discussing is how that is treated in accounting terms. That accounting treatment of the investment that was made up to financial year 2011-12, its classification in accounting changed in 2016 due to changes in accounting standards of IFRS. With that change, the classification of that investment was treated as a liability. It was always there on our books, but it was not a liability until the accounting standards changed. CFO, if you would like to add anything or you want to assist me on that one, you can.
I think you summed it up very well, and maybe just to also point out that these loans from the shareholders are completely subordinated, which means that, you know, should something happen with the company, they will stand last to be repaid, and those changes that the CEO was referring to in terms of IFRS or IFRS, then deemed, because it's still a loan and we are not in control of whether or not you want to repay the loan or not, that's why it's treated as a loan and not as equity. But the shareholders have subordinated those loans, and for all practical purposes, it's still equity. And that's why, you know, the loans won't be repaid unless demanded by the shareholders, but they have indicated that they won't demand repayment, as the department has already indicated that they've authorized the conversion of those shareholder loans into equity. I hope that assists.
Thank you, Ian. Then there was another question relating to Minister Patel. So remember that our entity does not report to Minister Patel. So we are affected, but we don't interact directly with Minister Patel. So the feedback that we have received from the IDC, the shareholder representatives, is that normally when they have when Minister Patel is dealing with a matter, they normally receive a lot of clarification questions from him. Please explain this in your submission. Please explain that in your submission. And the concern from their side is they have not even received any clarification questions from the minister. So their perception is that the matter has not been dealt with for whatever reason. We don't know. And that is why our minister is requesting a meeting with Minister Patel so that we can find out, what are the issues from his side. And the IDC can clarify, DCDT, as the other shareholder, can clarify. We, as the entity affected, can clarify. So we don't know what Minister Patel's problem or discomfort with the shareholder loan conversion is. We are not privy to that. Thank you. I think there was an issue around the the purpose of today's meeting. I think you covered that, Chair. There was another question from Honorable Modise about why the capitalization stopped. Randani from the shareholder ministry clarified that. Then there was a question, I think, from Honorable Modise about the classification of the money invested originally. Ian, I think maybe if you can re-emphasize that before we dealt with the shareholder loan needing to be converted, the original investment, what was it classified as on the balance sheet? Ian, if you can help me with that one.
You see, through your chair, I think...
CFO?
Thank you, Chair. I think I've answered that, but just to re-emphasize that when maybe I started originally, I think the question from Honorable Madishki was, that money was originally shown as equity before the changes in IFRS was made, and now we're showing it as a loan. But as I have indicated earlier on, these loans in terms of our shareholder agreement have been subordinated, which means it's lost when it comes to any repayments. So for all practical purposes, if it wasn't for IFRS, it'll still be deemed to be an equity. But to be technically correct, we have to treat those as loans in the balance sheet, but they are not repayable unless the shareholder demands that it should be paid. But they have indicated that they will not request that. That's why it's been subordinated.
Okay.
Thank you
very much.
Again. Chair, the next question was about the public mandate of BBI, and I think it was at that time that Honorable Modise's audio was fading. But I think we got the gist of the question. So from our perspective, the merged entity will still have that public mandate. The reason for merging the entities is to strengthen what is owned by the state so that they can deliver on issues that include the public mandate. But this is something that I think when we get into the phase where we are currently, where we are going to develop the strategy for the new entity, we will have that issue confirmed with the ministry to make sure that we are still on track. But our expectation as BVI is that the public mandate will remain. Perhaps Randani or Simpiwe can comment about their view from the shareholder department.
Through you, Chair, should comment? Okay,
yes.
Thanks, Chair. Yes, yeah. I just want to confirm that yes, indeed, the mandate itself, in actual fact, the intention is to ensure that it then expands and ensure that it does reach those underserved areas, as we have indicated. So even in the draft business case that the CEO was referring to, that we have done, we have clarified that matter. We have made it clear to them through the business case that indeed that is the intention. Because just to go back to what the CEO was saying in the presentation, that the intention is to utilize your broadband services that are in that lie within BBI and have the same reach that the Centec towers does have. So basically, just to put it in short, is that the idea here is that where you have radio, where everyone listens to radio, so the reach of radio, which as we all understand, almost everyone can listen to radio. So the intention is to say where there is radio signal, there should be broadband. That's what we're trying to do. So wherever there is a radio signal, so if you combine BBI and Centec, then you should then be able to have broadband. So that is the reach we're talking about. So the intention indeed is to ensure and enforce that underserviced area mandate. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, CEO. The last question by Honorable Modise on the morale of the staff.
Yes.
Of, yeah.
So the impact of SOC rationalization on staff morale, from our view, is that it hasn't had an impact because the way that we view SOC rationalization and the way we communicate it to staff is that it is a growth measure. The two entities are being merged to enable them to grow their business better than they are able to do as separate entities. And because it is a growth mandate, it should create more job opportunities rather than lead to retrenchments. That is our view, and that's the view that we have communicated to staff. We haven't really lost staff as a result of SOC rationalization, according to our stats, and the feedback that will come from exit interviews. In a lot of cases, it's people leaving because they've been offered better financial incentives elsewhere. And in the financial year 2019-20, we came out of that financial year with staff retention. I think it was sitting at about 96%. So SOC rationalization has not yet affected us negatively in terms of staff morale and people leaving.
Okay. Thank you very much. Honorable Klute, so you said you want to have a question?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for
allow other members to make follow-up.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for allowing me for another question. I think we should just be careful not to preempt especially the legislative process in this regard. Because I know that the Minister has made announcements on this, but we should just be mindful that there is a legislative process that will go through us and the National Assembly as well. So I hear what we're saying about using state resources correctly, but let's just be careful about that. There's just a question on slide 5. I see that for the past, let's say, 5 years since 2016, we've seen a decline on anchor customers, but at the same time, we see an increase of national revenue. Two questions. What were the reasons for the decline in anchor customers? And whilst national revenue increased, we also see an increase of customers, if I'm not mistaken. So does BBI regard national, let's say, the state as a customer then? I just want to make sure about that. So what are the reasons for the anchor customers declining? And is the state then, or national revenue, and by means the state then, regarded as a customer?
Okay. Thank you very much. Honorable Mgauza, do you still have any follow-up?
Chairperson, I'm not so sure I was clarified, or is this question not relevant? I have requested that we be given at least a heads up of the people who are injecting cash into the entities. And then yes. Also...
Yeah, it was not answered. Okay. Yes.
The activities relating to the cash injections are not outlined and they are not very much clear as to how much was spent on what, how much cash was injected, how much cash was spent on what. Because we just want to establish here, where does the money go? So can we be clarified, Chairperson? Thank you.
Thank you very much. CEO and Rendani, those are the questions for now. Can we clarify them?
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I'll go to the question that was asked by Honorable Ngause. So the cumulative total of 1.8 billion that is shown at the slide that we started with. That money, 1.3 billion of it came from government. At the time, the shareholder ministry was the Department of Public Enterprises. So that's money that came from National Treasury via DPE into BVI. The balance of it, about 479 million, came from the IDC into BVI. What was that money used for? It was used to buy fiber from Eskom and Transnet. So BVI owns fiber that is the property of BVI, but it is strung on Eskom transmission lines. We bought some of that fiber from Eskom. Similarly, there is fiber that is in the railway servitudes of Transnet that we bought with that capital injection from government and the IDC. We also built brand new fiber routes that were not there. We bought network equipment. We built a network operating center at our head office. So the money went into the infrastructure and the network that was used to start BVI, to get BVI going for the couple of years that the money was being pumped into BVI. And that investment is also what BVI is using today. So we exist, we continue to operate, although with some difficulty, but using the infrastructure and the network on which that 1.8 billion was spent. I hope that answers the question. So the issue that we were raising is that since financial year 2011-12, there hasn't been any money injected externally by the two shareholders or anybody else into BVI. BVI has been surviving by using the cash that it generates from operations. So we run our networks, we bill customers, we collect from those customers, we pay our overheads and our creditors, and some of that cash we then use to do the little bit that we were able to do to upgrade and augment our infrastructure.
Yeah, I understand, CEO. I think in terms of the question as asked by honorable member, she wanted a detail which you might not provide for now. I'll suggest that CEO, you go and put down how, what infrastructure, in what areas that you have put in place in terms of that cash injection and how much was spent. Then you send it back to us in writing so that it can cover the member very well. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. We'll do that.
Yes. There were some
questions. Chairperson.
Yes.
Chairperson, thank you so much. I'm clarified, yes, but I was also going to reiterate on the issues of where that infrastructure was built, and that must be broken down into provinces, if possible, into regions. And then also, Chairperson, just lastly, the fiber that you bought from Eskom, they are still strung onto the Eskom lines. Is Eskom still billing you? Are you still paying Eskom for those lines? If I can just be clarified on that.
Okay. CEO?
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. So, yes, we will certainly provide a breakdown of the capital investment. Where did the money go? What did it build? And in terms of fiber, we've got our fiber network broken down per province. So that information we will provide in writing. The question about Eskom, so the fiber, and I will talk to Transnet as well, although Honorable Ngause didn't ask about Transnet. So we have fiber that is strung along Eskom transmission lines. That is our fiber. We don't pay for the use of that fiber because it belongs to us. But for reasons of safety, Eskom maintains that fiber on our behalf because it's their employees who have got the health and safety certificates to work on high voltage transmission lines. And we pay Eskom for them to maintain that fiber for us. Similarly, in the case of the fiber that is in the Transnet railway servitude, we also pay Transnet for the maintenance of that fiber.
Thank you very much. And
Yeah, I think there was a, if we are done with the questions from Honorable Ngause, we can move to those from Honorable Glute. There were two questions. So the first one is about the decline in the revenue from Enka customers. In answering that question, what we need to explain is that in telecommunications, we have what the mobile network operators call average revenue per user. In other words, how much does a user pay per megabyte of data? That price has been coming down over the years. So it's the same with us. So if we are selling a 100 megabits per second capacity and the anchor customers that we started with, it was Neotel was our first customer. They are now called Liquid Telecom. We also had CETA, the state IT agency, as one of our earlier anchor customers. So those customers over time, so when the contract for that 100 meg comes to an end, when it's renewed at a lower price per meg. So if you were paying, as an example, you were paying 100,000 rand for a 10 meg 10 years ago, you are probably paying 10,000 now. So you renew that contract, but at a lower price. So we then end up making less and less revenue from those customers. We haven't lost them, those anchor customers. They are still with us. But over time, we we make less money from them because that is the character of the market. That's how the market is. The prices are going down for bandwidth. And that is why we then, for us to retain the same level of revenue and maybe to grow it, we then have to sell to new customers. And those new customers, they are paying the current market rate. So they are not paying, if a customer gets a 10 meg at 10,000 today, Neotel was paying 100,000 for it 10 years ago. So it's revenue per meg going down. So if you want to grow your business, you need to find new customers to sell into. So that's the explanation. So if you look at on that graph, you will see that the revenue for anchor customers is declining, but we are growing national customers. That's what we call the new group of customers outside of the first group that we started with. You will see that we are growing through sales. So we sell to make more or less the same revenue we're making before, plus a little bit of growth. The state as a customer, so CETA, so we don't sell to government departments directly. They are customers of CETA, the state IT agency, and then we provide connectivity to CETA. So our state customer is CETA, sir. Thank you, Chair. That's our response to the two questions from Honorable Jude.
Okay, thank you very much. I think they are clear. I'll just want to check with the chairperson of the board if you have remarks. We are moving towards closure now.
Thank you, Chair. No, I do not have any particular remarks other than that I hope our request to the committee, wherever it can, to assist us in trying to enable ourselves to raise capital on ourselves will be very welcome. Particularly Minister Patel, personally, I do not understand the length of time it takes any minister to react to such a request. However, I leave it in your hands.
Thank you very much. I think it's one area that we have noted, and from Rendani and Simpiwe from the ministry will require feedback in terms of the engagement between the Minister Ndabeni and Minister Patel, as well as the issue relating to 9 ICT SOs is, because from where I'm standing, I look at SOEs suffocating each other rather than cooperating to assist in terms of service delivery. So we'll require the department. Rendania is still here.
Yes, I'm still here.
Yes, you need to relate it to the minister, because we have accepted the apology in relation to those two key issues that the committee wants them to attend to. We'll also at some stage require the feedback in relation to the merger between Centec and BBI, which will communicate with your office and the office of the minister, so that we get to be appraised as the committee in terms of the issues relating to the measures. But otherwise, let me take this opportunity to thank the chairperson of the board, Mr. Manja, together with your CEO and CFO, Rendani and Spiwa from the department, as well as the advisor to the minister. Members of the select committee who are present, we want to take this opportunity to thank you for the engagement. From BBI side, we have requested you to bring a report in writing in relation to the issues as raised by honorable members. We request CEO that you do that at the earliest convenient time. We also want to thank all the staff members from our committee as well as parliament staff. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. We don't have minutes, Loli. We'll look at them.
Yes, the president, don't have any. Thank you.
When they are ready, you will send them to members so that we engage with them before we come to the meeting. We'll look at them in the next meeting. Thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, members.